That's right, day two of being back in the studio. This is as long as I've ever been in the studio. By the way, I won't be on Thursday.
Sort of forgot what you looked like over three weeks.
Am I back on Friday? I know Thursday I'm up at the Ralph, right?
Yep, you're Thursday, you're at the Ralph, talking all things UND hockey, and then Friday you're back.
See, the team that they're dropping the banner for that was when I became a hockey groupie. I was in my senior year of high school, and this UND team was so good. I mean, you'd struggle to find a player that didn't end up playing professional hockey.
And what year was that? And I'm not.
It was 79-80.
Okay.
So 80 was the year I graduated.
Okay.
So, you know, so obviously my senior year of school was 80-81. No, 79-80.
Okay.
So I was in high school then yet. But all these names, you know, the Craig Ludwigs and the Dean Decisions and the Travis Dunns, the rink, our very own. And so that's going to be fun. That's going to be on Thursday this week. And so I'll get a chance to head north. And by the way, my sister Thomasine and my brother-in-law, Al, I'm staying at your house Wednesday night.
Yeah, we had that conversation in the newsroom this morning.
This is how I'll tell him. I won't text him. I won't.
He said, who are you staying with, Joel? Probably Tommy. Yeah. She didn't know that yet, though.
She don't care. That's a great thing about a big family. All right. He wants to be your congressman. If you're from the state of North Dakota, he's going to make it a race. He's willing to run against incumbent Kelly Armstrong. That's Zach Racknerud. He is from Minot. And he is somebody that is getting some attention. And so we wanted him on News and Views to talk to him about it. Zach, good to have you on.
Hi, Joel. Thanks for having me.
Let's do this in the beginning, okay? Before we get into positions and everything else, you know, not a lot of people know you yet. Tell them about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a lifelong North Dakotan. I grew up in the rural community of Northwood, just south of Grand Forks. I went to the University of North Dakota, where I got my bachelor's degree in communications, and I moved to Minot in 2016 to start my career. I'm in executive management and retail, which is just a fancy term for manager of the managers. And I'm jumping into this race because I look out across this country, and being 26 years old, frankly, I'm worried about the future. We've had a Congress for the better part of 50 years since the drafting of the Powell memo specifically, where large corporations and the wealthy decided to aggressively and without shame pursue public power. And what it's resulted in is this complete imbalance where Congress has had their focus be the needs of large corporations and special interests. And I'm joining because we need to bring that shift of power back, and we need somebody who is unabashed about policy that helps working families, because their interests have by and far been left behind for decades now.
So do it. How do you do it?
Sure. You mean?
How do you accomplish what you just set out as a goal?
Sure. So one of my flagship policies I think would have broad bipartisan appeal is with that imbalance of power, a large part of it is money. You need money to run for Congress. And so many folks have to rely on these special interest groups, large donations and independent expenditures, especially since 2010's Citizens United. And what I'm bringing forward is a policy proposal that would publicly finance our election system and give every eligible American a financial stake in the election. So whether it be $20, $50, some form of an election voucher that would allow them to financially support the candidates of their choice. And right now, on a spectrum of rule of the mob and oligarchy, we are way towards oligarchy right now, and that would help pull the balance of power back towards working families in this country.
How do we get around, because I totally agree with you, money has completely corrupted and poisoned, you know, on all sides of the aisle, I would argue, our election process. But, you know, there was a really tough ruling from the Supreme Court at the request of Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. He wanted this money in there. He wanted that. And the Supreme Court ruled in his favor. They called it freedom of speech. And so the McCain-Feingold rules, everything like that, went directly out the window. And so the Supreme Court now is even more on McConnell's side than what it was then. So I guess what I'm asking, Zach, is how do you fix it?
I think that Congress can do things outside the judiciary. And I think you make a really good point that this precedent that's been set, it wasn't just Citizens United. Citizens United was kind of the culmination of a lot of cases and a lot of precedent that really opened the floodgates in 2010. And Congress can bring that balance of power back through something like I mentioned with publicly financing elections. It wouldn't stop the independent expenditures because the precedent from the judiciary is going to take a long time, if ever, to really undo that. And so Congress has a role to be able to institute policy that would help pull that balance of power back.
So let me ask this. You're a Democrat running in a very, very red state. You know that Kelly Armstrong has been very supportive of the tax breaks when it comes to the corporations you're talking about. He's been very supportive of the energy industry that doesn't reside here in this state, but yet has, you know, a presence in this state, in all fairness. In other words, he's got the money. How are you going to beat a guy with that much money?
I think a lot of it boils down to I'm a candidate who's – I'm not going to object my values, and I'm going to reject those special interests. There is – with Congressman Armstrong specifically, 80% of his campaign funds are coming from these special interest groups. And if I go out there and I plan to traverse this state as much as I can to meet with folks and to just point these things out and say – less than 1% of his donations are small donations, and I'm going to run a campaign that's fueled primarily on that. And I'm not a stranger to the fact that that's going to be extremely challenging. It will put us at a disadvantage, but at the same time, the credence that comes with when you're talking to working people and you really point out these issues with campaign finance, and you say, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to rely on small donations from working people. And I think that really, to a lot of folks, they would, even if they don't agree with everything that I have to say, and nobody will agree with everything. That's the nature of our democracy, is that each of us are individuals and we all have our own views. But when objecting that financing, I think it lends a lot of credence, and folks would, even if they don't agree with me, they would say, I think he has my best interests in mind.
So let's talk about the differences, because obviously campaign finance and who has that voice and whether or not you can be put in a position where you're beholden to someone, which it sounds like you won't allow yourself to be put in that position, but just sheer policy, you know, the aside from election laws, what are the big things that separate you and Kelly Armstrong? Think about that question, if you would. And I'm going to take a little more of your time if I can. Can you hang with me, Zach?
Oh, yeah. I got as much time as you'll have me.
Okay. So hang with me and think about that question of what is the biggest – if I buy Zach instead of Kelly, what do I get? What's the difference?
Sure.
All right. Let's head to the weather cam. Zach Brocknerud wants to be your congressman for the state of North Dakota. He's put his name on the ballot, and he's looking for that endorsement from the Dem NPL up at their convention in Minot. And I asked Zach to hang with us a little bit longer, and of course the question that I wanted to talk to him about was, if I buy Zach instead of Kelly Armstrong, what do I get? What's the two or three major differences between what you would vote for versus what he voted for?
So there are a lot of areas that our Congress has left behind the needs of working families. If you look across this country, we're the only developed nation on earth that doesn't guarantee some form of health care coverage to its people. We're spending twice as much per capita. 500,000 Americans are declaring bankruptcy every year. 1/3 of North Dakotans are rationing their medicine today. And we're also the only developed nation on earth that's charging our young people tens of thousands of dollars in student loan debt, $1.6 trillion, just to seek a higher education and have a chance at a middle-class life. We're the only developed nation on earth that doesn't have some form of paid maternity and paternity leave. The costs of childcare are going up significantly. We have an infrastructure that's in complete disrepair. And at the same time, we're spending trillions of dollars on forever wars and hundreds of billions subsidizing large profitable corporations. These things aren't on Congressman Armstrong's radar. If you go look at his website, go look at his rhetoric, none of these things. We have a lot of particularly rural communities that are struggling with poverty, that are struggling with substance abuse, that are struggling with the economic realities of an economy that's not working for working families. The fruits of our economy are being continually concentrated at the very top while working families are being left behind. And I am entering this race to be a stark contrast to Congressman Armstrong. These things are just not on his radar.
I saw a statistic that really got my attention. And what the statistic was the percentage of people that if they were hit with an unexpected $500 expense, you know, it's like, boy, didn't see that one coming, that they didn't have the money to pay for it. And these were people with jobs. These were people with jobs, two jobs. These weren't people that were sitting there not getting up in the morning and going to work. And so some of what you're saying, well, all of what you're saying, quite frankly, resonates with me because, Zach, that's just wrong.
It is. We're the wealthiest nation in the history of planet Earth, and there's so many ways, basic ways, where working families are being left behind. And it's clear that the agenda of the GOP establishment is making those problems worse, honestly. And Congressman Armstrong has not shown anything to me that makes it look like he's going to break party lines. It's just not going to happen.
So, you know, people in this state are big Trump supporters, or at least the bigger percentage of them. I don't think you have to be, you know, a brain surgeon to figure that out. And yet we've got really tough times in terms of the economy when it comes to ag. If you're a congressman, which one of those two things do you support? Do you support Donald Trump and his policies on ag? Or do you, because, you know, the people in North Dakota appear to like it. I mean, the farmers, you know, they're not getting after it. They're, you know, for the most part, they're sitting there saying, you know what, he's seeing this through. We needed this trade war with China. We'll take our payments kind of a thing. I mean, how do you approach it as a congressman?
Yeah, I think the issues that our farmers are facing, this is an unprecedented time for them, and farm bankruptcies are rising. And when it comes to the ag relief, that is definitely something I would support in the face of what our farmers are facing. The only difference is that disproportionately these funds that are going to relieve farmers they're based on acreage alone. And so what we've found is that large profitable corporate farming operations are receiving a gigantic sum of these ag relief funds. And I don't agree with that. I think that these funds, when necessary, should be targeted towards based on need. How much debt did you incur? How much did you lose based on this policy? And so I don't support the way the Trump administration has handled it. We need to ensure that our smaller and medium operations are being taken care of first.
I was looking at the statistics of, you know, and I've got this person that I follow that she's an editor with CNBC. So, you know, and you know that CNBC is, it's not MSNBC and it's not Fox News. It plays things directly from the center, and it's financially based. And what they monitor is the containers. You know, she wants to know about the containers that because if you're not shipping it, you're not selling it. And so this whole notion of, oh, it's back. It's actually quite easy to track, and we're not shipping any. I mean, we're not. And if you were my congressman, if I elect you, you get my vote. How do you fix this? Because the president, I don't believe, cares. I think that he just takes that money that he can access. We go deeper in debt, and he sends it out to farmers instead of working on the markets that they've developed, and he blows it up. So if you're my congressman, how do you fix that?
I think what you alluded to is just opening up the markets that we can, especially with our biggest trading partners. The president has been pretty abrasive towards a lot of those folks, and that's not something that we need to do. We need to ensure that, especially at this time when farming families are struggling so hard, so large, it's we got to make sure that their needs are coming first, particularly smaller and medium operations, by opening up those markets and not taking the aggressive hardline stances that we are today if we're not going to be there to help them.
I'm just afraid that they won't be there when the war is over. That's my biggest fear.
Me too.
Yeah. Zach, I've got somebody got a question for you. Roy, you're on with Zach.
Yeah, Roy, I know it's maybe hard to come to a definitive answer on this, but I read from the Ag Department that soybean exports in North Dakota to other countries was down 50% last year. What are these farmers doing other than getting a little bailout from the government? What do you see as the way to change that around? Can we go to other countries with the soybeans? Or what are these farmers doing if they're sitting on 50% more soybeans than they had the year before? I don't get it. So can you give us some insight on that?
Thanks, Roy.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I think sorry. Talking to our farmers is going to be a lot of what I need to do moving forward. I'll be completely honest that some of these issues, I need to listen and I need to figure out the economic realities that our farmers are facing. But I think it really does boil down to making sure we're opening up markets wherever possible and delivering better results for our farmers rather than what we've seen from the current administration.
But I got to tell you, Zach, as a recovering politician, what you just said matters because you're willing to go to them and listen versus, you know, just say whatever Donald Trump says. And so I think it'll resonate. I think that farmers get it. I think that many of the people I talked to that were Donald Trump supporters support him because they didn't like the alternative. They weren't big Hillary supporters. And I think that they know what's happening to their markets. So if you're willing to go listen, I think they'll be willing to have that conversation. So we'll do this more, Zach. We'll get a chance. Do you got a website or someplace we can direct people to?
Yes, that would be great. So my website is www.zach4nd.com. And this campaign, like I mentioned at the beginning, is funded by small dollar donations. And we do have to get some printed materials, pay fees for the convention, et cetera, et cetera. So if anybody's out there listening and you can chip in $5, $10, $20, whatever you can afford, if this okay. resonates with you, that would be greatly appreciated. Zach4nd.com.
Thanks for coming on. Phone calls.
Thank you.
Back.
Prematurely yellow beans are embarrassing.